Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
Nothing to do with our message today, but we're coming to the end of 2014, and we're going to enter into 2015. And sometimes when we look around, we can feel that we're so insignificant and so weak and so vulnerable. Yet when we look through Scripture, so often God used men and women who were so weak and so insignificant and so vulnerable. And someone said to me once, when I was about 18, I was going through an apprenticeship to be a panel beater and paint sprayer. And I seemed to have a knack for the spray gun. And I seemed to be able to get the paint on the car and not around it. And my foreman, the guy who was training me, he said this. I said to him shortly before, do you know what, I'm not really very good at this academic stuff, and I don't think I'm going to be able to do the paperwork, and I don't think I'm going to be able to get my qualification. He said, Andrew, he said, a tradesman, in my opinion, isn't someone that can spray when things are good, when the conditions are right and the paint is the right viscosity. Now, that's something I learned. That's the only word I knew. I went on a training scheme and they said, don't forget to get the viscosity right. And I'm going, what's viscosity? Thickness. Don't forget to get the thickness right. And they used to measure it and pour in the right quantities. And I used to stick and I used to feel how thick it was. And yet, myself, I felt insignificant. And Charlie said this to me. He said, Andrew, when the conditions are right, when the thickness of the paint is right, when the air is right, when the heat is at the right condition, when there's no dust around, anyone can spray. But what happens when the fly lands on the middle of the roof just as you've finished your last coat? A tradesman is someone that can get out of trouble when trouble comes. A Christian isn't just somebody that can walk through the good times. When we have enough money in our pockets and we're healthy and we're wealthy and we're wise and we're in the right church, we're in the right place and everything is okay, a Christian is someone who knows that Jesus Christ is their anchor. That though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because his rod and his staff, he comforts me. So this Christian life isn't about having everything which is uneven, but everything that is even. Even though around us there may be turmoil, inside we can still have that peace that the Bible talks about, that peace that transcends all understanding. While I find my key scripture, I want to tell you, repeat something I heard. I was listening to UCB radio and I just found this quite funny. It was amusing. So I'm going to share it with you. Man walks home into his house. He comes in and usually the house is clean and tidy and spotless. And he comes in to find his wife lounging on the sofa reading a book. And he looks and he says, sweetheart, what's going on? What are you doing? And she said this. She said, you know, every other day when you come home, you say to me, what do you do all day? Well, today I didn't do it. How true is that? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And we've been talking about generosity of heart, generosity of spirit. The things we say and the things we don't say. The things we do and the things we don't do. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Verse 9, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase the store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You see, something that we've been trying to communicate as a church is this, that as we do the right thing at the right time, as we do the wrong thing at the right time, as we do the things that we believe that God wants us to do, as we sow generously, as we give of our time and our effort, our smiles, as we forgive, as we walk forward, God increases the harvest of our righteousness. That means we have a right standing with him. Sometimes in life, over this year, these last 12 months or so, I have had the privilege of walking with some people who have been lower than low. But God's word says, get up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. It's the good news of the gospel. We can promote a church, if you like that, swinging from the chandeliers, or we can have stability, we can have truth. And for me, as we was in worship today, even though we may be fewer in numbers, there's a credibility in God's house. There's an authenticity, I believe. I don't say that because I'm senior minister. I say that because I've had the privilege of watching you in action. And I'm here to encourage you and to inspire you to be all that you can be for the rest of this year and the rest of your life here on earth. Some of you have walked through tough times. Some of you are still walking through tough times. But you don't need to put your trust in me. You need to put your trust in him, because he is the anchor for your soul. And as you move forward, he will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, over these weeks, we've been looking at generosity. And I challenged this as the church and said, are you willing to serve? Are you willing to love? Are you willing to water with God's word? And today, I want to bring a message using a portion of scripture and simply ask us this: are we willing to give? Are we willing to give? It will unfold as we go on. This is a great story, and I encourage you to read around this man. I encourage you to read the scriptures beforehand and the scriptures after. Get this man's life into perspective and understand that here's a man, yet on the outside we can see such a mighty man of God, yet on the inside he seems so weak and insignificant. And his story, I hope, will encourage you and inspire you this morning. It's 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Now, Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab. Ahab is a king that's evil, basically. His wife Jezebel, between the two of them, they are equally yoked, equally as evil as each other. They would worship false gods. They would do all kinds of atrocities. This is the man we're talking about here. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve. Elijah was sent to this man. He was sent to this kingdom to proclaim something. Now, you've heard the story, don't shoot the messenger. Well, that's what they used to do. They used to boil the messenger. They used to certainly kill the messenger if they could, the prophets of God, those that would be the men and women who would speak on the Lord's behalf. So here's a man that has suddenly come onto the pages of Scripture, and here he is delivering a message full of woe. Whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain for the next few years except by my word. Verse 2, it says this: then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here and turn eastward and hide Cherith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook. I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So we did what the Lord had told him. That's one of the first things that we ought to identify in this scripture. He did what the Lord had told him. So often there's things in my life and maybe in your life that seems good at the time, but did God ask us to do them? If God's asked you to stay somewhere, stay. If he's asked you to go, go. If he's asked you to sit, sit. If he's asked you to give, give. If he's asked you to receive, receive. And that's one of the most difficult things, I think, in our Christian walk, isn't it? Is this God's will? And it's for us to get before him and hear his voice. He went to the Cherith ravine east of the Jordan, and he stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. If we just pause for a moment and look at this verse 6, two things we can see here. One is a provision supernaturally, and one is a provision naturally. So the supernatural provision are the ravens bringing bread and meat, and the natural provision is the water that comes from the brook. And I think for us as a church and for us as individuals, it'd be good to just keep that in the corner of our thoughts. Verse 7, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So often we hear the word widow, an individual that's on their own, but we don't hear of their name. And I guess it's because their name's not important, but what they do and what they have done is what's important. So bear in mind that this individual is somebody who possibly is left without no provision. Husband that has died because she's been widowed. This particular widow has a son. She has a child, so she has someone else to provide for. Yet she is the only one to eke out that living. And God has said to his servant, go to this woman. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? Now just bear in mind that he is in the middle of a severe drought. And he's coming up to this town and here's this widow woman. She has no one else to provide for her. And this man of God calls out, bring me a drink in a jar. Could you imagine what your response would be? If we remember something we brought a few weeks ago was when the servant of Abraham was asked to go and find a wife for Isaac, he stood by a well and he said, Lord, let the person, the woman who's going to be favorable, the one that will marry, the one that will say yes, the one that you've chosen, let her be generous. When I ask her for a drink, let her give us a drink. And not only will she give me a drink, but she would also be willing to give my camels a drink too. You see, there's a willingness, even though the Lord has preordained this, if you like, predestination. This is the right woman at the right place at the right time. There's still a willingness. You are the right person in the right place at the right time, but there's still a willingness. He who sows generously will also reap generously. Jesus was at the well, wasn't he? He said to a woman who was there, would you get me a drink, please? There's a whole new story, a whole nother story about that woman and what she said. But here's the thing. Jesus could have commanded her to, but he didn't. He asked her to. And it's the same here in this story here. This is a request. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, so her heart was a heart of generosity. Here she is in a severe drought. As we read on in this story, we will see that there's not much provision in the house, yet she was willing to give. He who sows generously will also reap generously. And so often we look at generosity being just our bank balance, just our finances. But you know what? Sometimes when we have little, if we're willing to share that little, that's being more generous than if we have a lot. What did Jesus say about the man and the woman, at the temple, putting in money into the treasury? This rich man came and he threw lots of money in. And this poor widow woman came and she put in but two small coins. And he said, surely I tell you this, she has given more because she's given out of her poverty where he gave out of his riches. He who sows generously will also reap generously. As she was going to get it, he called and bring me a piece of bread. I smile and laugh at this portion of scripture because if you get the picture, they're in a severe drought, a famine. There isn't much water about, so therefore the crops have not grown. Therefore there's not much food about. And here's the man of God coming to the widow woman saying, get me a drink, please. Oh, and by the way, bring me something to eat. And here we have a story of a woman who has a heart, I believe, of generosity. Verse 12, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. In other words, she says, we have but one more meal left, and then we will just sit and wait to die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. This woman, after this portion of scripture, she built up a relationship and she called Elijah the man of God. So we could say this, that she was asked to give to the Lord first and then feed herself. And so often in a drought situation, it's hard, isn't it, to give to someone else? So often when you're down to your last loaf of bread, you're down to your last bag of potatoes, you're down to the last amount of money that will pay the rent or the rates or the fuel to get to work, you're down to the last of whatever you have in your storeroom, and someone comes along and says, will you share with me what you have? That's at that point, our character will rise up. Because this woman, though she didn't understand who this man was, she didn't fully understand his God, but she said, your God, your Lord, this is all I have. Before you I stand. Elijah said, make something for me, bring it first, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. Did she have a heart of generosity before she heard those words or after she heard those words? Before she heard those words. See, God knew her heart and he knows your heart. And he knows that you have a heart of generosity. I'm only here just to encourage you and provoke you and stir you up, challenge you, and to give you the opportunity to live out the word that you've received. It's in the tough times that we work out who we are. It's when the fly lands on the roof that we find out if we can cope with this spraying or not. It's when the Christian comes under severe pressure. It's when your marriage is in jeopardy. It's when your finances are at their lowest. It's when your mental and emotional stability is at risk. It's at those times that we work out, does our Savior live? And it may sound that that's a harsh thing to say, but that's the truth. And it's words like that that will be the anchor for our soul. Because if you're like me, maybe you've uttered these words. When I was a Christian many years ago, the Lord asked something of me. And I said, I cannot do this anymore. I cannot bear this. And God whispered in my ear as only he could, but I won't give you more than you can bear. So maybe you are that Christian this morning. Maybe you've walked through a 2014 and think, roll on 2015 because it can't be any worse. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's him in us. Elijah understood it was the word of the Lord. And yet here's a man that's so insignificant. Here's a man that relied on a raven to feed him, and he drank from a brook. What we see there is the natural run dry. And we could look at this picture and we could say, how can God love him when he allowed that brook to dry up? And sometimes in our lives, when we look into our circumstances, we go, how can God love me when I feel so dry and insignificant? Surely I'm not doing the Lord's will because I'm walking this way, backwards instead of forwards. Yet we look at the natural things, don't we, or is it just me? We look at the natural things. I don't seem to hear God the same as I did. I don't seem to have as much money in the bank as I used to. I don't seem to have as many friends around me. I don't seem to think this and think that. And I had the privilege of speaking to a lady over the Christmas period that kept saying this, but I feel, and it's not about what we feel, it's about the faith that we have. It's about what he has said. So this is to inspire you, to encourage you, to keep on being who you are. Because when the natural things dry up, it does not mean that the supernatural things have dried up. Because God's provision was right here. He just provided in a different way. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with what the word of the Lord had spoken to Elijah. Now, that's a portion of scripture I wanted to bring us today as a church, as I said, to encourage us, to inspire us, to get that understanding that when the natural seems to be there. I think this is all right to share because we're family. This year has been quite difficult for us as a church financially. We don't bring it on a regular basis. We don't tell you. But we've been running in a deficit for maybe the last 6 months, running on empty. Does that mean that we're doing the wrong thing? I don't think so. Because the supernatural is still working. People's lives are still being changed. There's still been a platform. There's still been a foundation that's been built. There's joy in our worship team. There's new people being added to hospitality. There's life within us. Yet when we look at the natural things, we can go, well, one or two people left church. One or two people felt, this isn't the place for me, and they moved and they took their money with them. Maybe we're doing something wrong. I don't think so. That's only the natural. I'm interested in the supernatural. I can make things happen in the natural. I can do things in the natural. I have natural ability, but I want the supernatural in my life. Not the weird and the wacky, but the wonderful. The hope of glory that springs forth. That God's enabled me to weep with those that weep, to laugh with those that laugh, to bind up the broken hearts and to set the captives free. As a church, if we look at the natural, we will be discouraged. But if we look at the supernatural, we will be encouraged. That's my thoughts. And I think if you get before the Lord, they may be your thoughts too. So when we look at this man Elijah, possibly as he's running for his life and he's hiding in a ravine going, God, why did you ask me to do such a thing? I feel like that dried up brook. Worthless and useless. Why didn't you send somebody else? He was looking at the natural, yet the word of the Lord came and he said, go to this widow woman. Go. And this is what I want you to say. Bring me a drink. Bake me a roll, and let's see what the Lord will do. And I want to encourage us, church, to know this, that when we feel that we're down to our last barrel of flour, we're down to our last cup of water, that there's only a little oil in the jug, that when we grab hold of God's word, he will, as we sow generously, we will reap generously, and he will increase the store of our righteousness. And when our righteousness grows, we have a right standing with him, and we are his children. Is that true? And do you think he would give his children a stone when they ask for an egg? No. Do you think that when we ask for bread, he'll give us a scorpion? No. Do you think when we ask for his grace, he'll give us grace? Yes. When we ask for his mercy, he'll give us mercy? Yes. When we ask for forgiveness, he'll give us forgiveness? Yes. Why? Because we're his children. So I want to encourage you to be encouraged. In 1 Corinthians 1:27, this will encourage you, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Do you feel sometimes that, I can't do this? It's okay for those other Christians. They seem so on top of the game, but I feel so foolish and insignificant. But this is what the Lord says. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Do you feel weak? Welcome to the family. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. See, God takes your weakness and he turns it into strength. He takes your poverty and he turns it into riches. But he does ask us to be humble. God gives grace to the humble. He asks us to fall upon the rock. When we fall upon the rock, we are broken. And when we are broken, he mends us. He encourages us. So often in our daily walk, it seems to be that we're going through treacle so often. We see people around us and we understand that scripture that says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, yet they seem to be having such a good time, but there's an eternity that God says is yours. That's not just this life. That's a life to come. It's an eternal life, and Jesus Christ is coming back. And he wants us to be a generous people. That's what his word says. This is a relatively short message, so I want to encourage you by bringing our worship team back and just reading this last portion of Scripture. As I said to you before, there was a woman at the well when Jesus was there. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" Because Jesus had said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water that I give them, they will never thirst. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well to drink from? As did also his sons and his livestock." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." What is that water? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's the water of God's word. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. So whether you feel insignificant like Elijah maybe did, maybe you feel insignificant like I have on my journey, or not, whether you're on the mountain or you're down in the valley, whether your jar is full or your jar is empty, whether the brook is dry or the brook is flowing, there's a well that can spring up within inside you, whatever your circumstances. Whether you're in plenty or you're in want, whether you're grieving or you're not, whether you've had a good year, a bad year, or an insignificantly ugly year, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who sows generously will also reap generously. I want to be a minister that will bring food that we can eat and live off. I don't want to just bring you a small amount. I don't want to bring you just the small roll. I want you to be able to be satisfied. And when you eat of the bread of life, when you drink of the water of life, it will never run out. Just like Elijah said to this widow woman, if you do this because the Lord's servant has asked you to, this is what the Lord says. Your food will never run out and your water will never run out. And that's the same word for you and me. If we are generous with what God gives us, He'll be generous back to us. He'll give us a harvest of righteousness. And our water will never run dry and our bread will never cease if we choose to eat of the bread of life and drink of the water of life. So my encouragement to us as a church, as we come to the end of this year, is to firstly say, well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what God says. That's what Jesus said when those of his kingdom worked with what he gave them and you have worked with what he has given you. How do I know that? Because you're in his house today. You've taken that small measure of faith and you've planted it and you've allowed it to germinate. You've allowed it to grow. You put your light on a hill so people can see it. The second thing is this, if you will grab hold of that spring that wells up from inside us and say, Lord, fill me afresh with your Spirit of truth. I want to drink of the water that will never run dry. Then he will. When you can say, Lord, I want to feed on the bread of life that I may have eternity with you, he'll give you that bread. So let's be blessed and let's be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace and for your mercy. Father, we thank you for that heart of generosity that you've planted inside each one of us. Lord, today we take that small measure of faith that you've given us and we exercise it. And we say, Lord, increase the store of our righteousness. Lord, would you give us a right standing with you? Father, at the end of this year, we ask your forgiveness for anything we've said, done or not said. And today is a new day. Today is a fresh day. Father God, you are the anchor for my soul. Father God, I pray this day for prosperity. Nothing broken, nothing missing. I pray for financial prosperity that I may have, that I may give away. I pray, Father God, for mental and emotional prosperity that your word says the mind of the righteous is blessed. And I want my mind to be blessed. I want my thoughts to be your thoughts. Father God, I want to drink from your well. Come through the power of your Holy Spirit and fill me this day, I pray, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, let's stand, let's worship the Lord.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.